Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, July 19, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Dance on a Daily Basis, with my guest, Rakesha Pittman. Hi, Rakesha.
Hello, Dr. Flora.
Hey. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I realize you have many other things you could do with your time, so I'm so happy you chose to spend some of it with us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. Now, if you're over on the phone lines, you just press a 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're on the web chat, type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens. Now, if your call is suddenly lost, then you'll know that because you won't hear anything anymore. Just dial in again at 347-539-5700. Or if you're listening on the show page, you just go off the show page, come back, and don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it. On my show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, you can follow me on Twitter. You can visit me and become a fan over on Facebook. And most important, you can add yourself as a friend of the show. Now, for those of you who don't know me yet, I'm an author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you will learn about the programs available to help you choose happiness in your life. While you're there on my homepage, be sure to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, and you can click over to visit my blog, too, while you're there. You will also see on my website how to connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and so forth. Now, if you're thinking of starting a business, and I know some of you are, and you're not sure just where to start or how to keep going if you've already gotten started, several friends and I decided to put together an audio CD sharing our experiences with new business owners and maybe established business owners who need a little push. So three of us produced this 4-part audio series where we tell you what you need to know right from the start to create a thriving small business. So we have 4 CDs. Part 1, the first CD is called From Idea to Plan, and this is, we talk about where ideas come from. And then part 2, second one, is called Plan to Prosper, How Entrepreneurs Think Differently Than Hobbyists. The third CD, Systems to Success, we talk about the tasks you must complete to succeed, as well as time management and organization skills. And finally, the fourth one, Selling to Sales, Mistakes to Avoid in Selling Your Products and Services. So I encourage you to get the solid guidance that will help put you on the path to success. Now, to get this set of CDs, and you may buy just one or you might want to buy the whole set, go to my site, florabrown.com/know from the start. No spell K-N-O-W from the start. Now, if you are local, that means you're in Orange County, California, or Greater Los Angeles, California, and you are ready to come out of hiding and start living your life to the fullest, I invite you to join me and other happy people in a meetup, an interactive meetup called From Overwhelmed to Overjoyed, Creating the Life You Want. We meet on the 2nd and 4th Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. at a restaurant in Orange County, California. And when you sign up, you'll find out exactly where that is. It's free to attend, but you are asked to buy a copy of my book as part of joining with us, so you'll have it to refer to. Now, you can get the details about that over at my website, coloryourlifehappy.com also. Okay, let's move on to the radio show, Color Your Life Happy. Here we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. In order to get at that goal, each week I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, and all of the things that contribute to lasting happiness. Today, I'm very honored to have as my guest, Rakesha Pittman. Hi, Rakesha, again.
Hello.
I want to tell my listeners a bit about you before we begin. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Rakesha is a requested speaker, teacher, and trainer all across the United States and internationally. She is the founder of Rain Ministries, and I have to spell it out so you'll understand. Rain, R-A-I-N, Rain, R-E-I-N, and Rain, R-E-I-G-N Ministries. She's the artistic director of Rain Dance Company of Las Vegas and the owner of Renaissance, did I say that right?
Yes,
Renaissance LLC. She provides instructional tools for dancers in the church and community. Her dance ministry training series, 7 Steps to a Divine Turnaround, has benefited several churches and is available to come to your community for a weekend session. She is also the author of a recently released book, Company Keepers, Dance Ministry Daily. It is my pleasure to welcome Rakesha Pittman.
Yay! Thank you, Dr. Flora. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us. This is such a fascinating topic, I think, because, first of all, when I see dance on a daily basis, it makes me think that there's joy in dancing, even if we just dance around the house, that we can add joy to our lives. But you've turned it into something much more meaningful and much bigger than just our individual dancing. So let's start off with talking about your book, Company Keepers. I got an opportunity to take a look at it, and I loved your writing style. I love the tips you gave there, and it's certainly a unique book. I can't imagine there's many people that have written about this. So tell us about your book. What prompted you to write it and what it's about?
Dance Ministry Daily. I have been praise dancing for the past 11 years, and for some people who may not know what praise dance is or what makes it distinct, is that praise dance is usually done to gospel or Christian music, inspirational. It's done in the church setting, and it often is about, gospel truths and words and messages. So I have been doing that for the past 11 years, and In those 11 years, I've been blessed to be able to start other dance teams and to teach. Some of the frustration has been is that it seems like over the years that, you keep repeating yourself over and over again. It's almost like, the people who should have known or they should have known it by now, they don't have it. So I was prompted to write this book, one, because of inspiration. Just prompted to write 3 or 4 paragraphs per day on dance. And initially when I started writing this book, I didn't know it was a book. I just started blogging every single day.
Okay.
Had no idea how far it would reach, and people who I'd never met from places I had never been were reading, were tuning in. And so about 125 days writing straight, then it was revealed to me that it was a book. And so I wrote for 365 days. Did not know how I was supposed to do this and write 365 different subjects on dance every day, but it happened. And so the book was completed and put into a devotional format. I didn't do it like January 1st, January 2nd, like you see some books. I did it in a day style so that whatever day it is for you, that's the day you start.
I love that. Yes, I love that. Yeah. That's amazing. Now, for people who are unfamiliar with praise dancing and haven't had the pleasure of seeing praise dancing, how does praise dancing, since it is used in worship, how is it different from regular dancing?
Well, dance is a language. Some people know, they say dance is a universal language, and it's a way to communicate non-verbally. Some of the dance styles differ. Often in the traditional dance setting, the body is the focus of the entertainment, or the looking at the person is the focus, the beauty of the dancer's body, all of that. When you do it in a gospel setting, the message is the focus. So even though you're using movement to convey the message. So the focus is not on the dancer. The focus is on the message of the gospel.
Okay. All right. So whatever message the dancer is trying to convey, that's what you want to focus on. And I suppose the music will help with that as well.
Yes, music selection is very important.
Okay. Even though I've seen, too, well, I guess they've used it. I've seen mime being used. I guess that's also one of the types of praise dancing. But I suppose you could do it without any music at all, but most of the ones I've seen have had music.
Yes, people do praise dance to poems, to sermons, to scripture readings even, so it's not limited to just music.
Okay. And it's beautiful that when you watch it, it's so stirring and moving to see the combination of the gestures and the movement along with the message. It just helps to amplify the message and the worship experience.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's what you would say. Now, why is this type of book needed for dancers in the church? You mentioned that you've done this for 11 years, and you were inspired to do this. So why is this needed for the dancers in the church?
So many people don't even know where to start. Often people are led by their passion, which is great, but there are some practical things that come along. You know, when you're in the church setting, there's protocol, there's rules, you know, there's wisdom. There's some wisdom that needs to be exercised, and it changes from different churches to church or even in different communities. So this book gives a lot of practical application. It gives wisdom. I share my experiences, and I think I covered everything from the type of garments that we wear, music selection, financing the ministry, dancing as a soloist, dancing as a group, interacting with different people, leadership. It covers a wide range of topics.
Wow.
I don't believe that you should have to make mistakes. You know, there is safety in counsel. So I believe that this book provides counsel for people so that you can go beyond where those of us who have started years ago, if you're starting today, you can start with the same information and go further than we ever did.
Right, right. So this book is really directed at the dancers in the church or someone who thinks that they want to become a praise dancer, or perhaps a leader who wants to create praise dancing in the church could have their participants to read this book as well. Sounds like it's directed right at the users of the ones that at the ground level of doing the praise dancing need to know these things that you've shared.
But interestingly, many people have purchased my book who are not dancers and have said that even though it's written to the dancer, that they're gaining a lot from it as well. So they're saying, oh, it's just it's a ministry book, even though you wrote it to dancers, that it helps people even if they don't dance.
Yeah, I felt that way too because I'm not a praise dancer, but I did feel that way when I was reading through it. And because you're a good writer also, it's engaging. And so I really enjoyed reading through it. Now, how can this form of expression, praise dancing, bring happiness to us?
Often in the Bible, when you read the scriptures, mourning and dancing are contrasted. So actually, dancing and mourning are opposites. It's interesting. So usually when people are mourning, they don't dance. When people are joyful, they dance. So dancing was a regular expression of joy. And oftentimes in the Bible, when it says rejoice, it means to dance.
Okay.
Which is very interesting, to be joyful again. You know, so dance, as I've talked to a lot of even young people, I say, why do you dance? Because I like it, because it makes me happy, because it's something that I love to do. So usually when they're pulled in, they're not pulled in thinking, I'm going to be this awesome minister. They're pulled into the dance saying, I love it, and it makes me happy, and that's why I do it. And as I've trained not only girls but women and some gentlemen over the years, I've seen them change. They say that their life is better. It gives them inspiration to do things other than just dance, go to college, start a business, so many things. So it gives them that joy personally to pursue their other interests and callings.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting you mentioned that, what it does for them beyond just the dance itself, because my oldest daughter used not praise dancing in the church, but just dancing when she would get home as part of her weight loss program. She wanted to lose weight, but she didn't want to diet in the traditional sense. But along with exercising, she found that if she turned on music and danced, that it was joyful. It, you know, gave her uplift after working all day and dealing with stress.
Yes.
And it also helped her with her weight loss goals. So as you mentioned, dancing is an expression of joy. And even if you're not feeling joy when you start, when you finish, you've lifted up yourself and you've created joy. And the other thing, too, look at what it does to the people who are watching you.
Yes.
The people who are observing you, they, too, are getting joy from watching you, even the ones who aren't dancers themselves. Just the watching of a dancer, I think when we see the dancer not only give the message, but see how they enjoy it, I think it helps our enjoyment and our happiness too.
And
so
what's
that's
so interesting,
go ahead.
What's so interesting, too, is when you look at it from a cultural perspective, dance is a natural expression.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout cultures, before there was internet, before we had TV, people were dancing all over the world.
And
they didn't send a letter, you know, to tell someone. It is a natural thing. When you look at babies, if they hear music, they dance. It brings joy to people to see a baby dance. You know, even as an adult, if I go somewhere and I hear music, I just start moving. It's a natural response to music. It's a rhythm. Even if you think about our heartbeat has rhythm. So we all have rhythm, even if we say we don't. We do it. We're alive. We have rhythm. And so dance is natural, but, you know, it is awesome to be able to use it as an expression of joy and to encourage people, too.
Right. You just made me remember when you said dance all over the world. When I went to China, I saw people dancing, and I mean not formal dancing per se, but just a couple of ladies in front of a store or in front of some opening, they would just join hands and start dancing. And the same in Barcelona. My daughter and I were walking down a street, and there was this big open space. Somebody had music playing. People put their purses and their bags in the middle of a circle and held hands and danced around. It's some traditional thing they do there, but it's not complicated. You know, anybody can join in and learn it fast. I thought, how wonderful to just have that break out while you're, you know, shopping or whatever. That was wonderful.
Right. Like folk dancing, and even in the Bible, what is interesting is, even though we have dance teams in the church and the community today, that is wonderful. In the Bible, even in Exodus, it says Miriam, she was mentioned as the first dancer in the Bible. She didn't dance by herself. All of the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. It was a community thing. So all of the women knew that this is what we do. This is a response that we have to victory when we're rejoicing. This is what we do. So they didn't sit back and watch Miriam. They joined her.
Wow. Wouldn't it be great if we spent our time dancing together instead of fighting together?
Oh, my goodness.
You can't fight while you're dancing. If you're dancing together in unison and enjoying yourself, you can't fight. So wouldn't it be great if we were spending our time that way in the world?
It
that would. Great.
We wouldn't compete so much.
That's right. Now, what are some of the common areas of training needed for dancers in the church when someone decides they want to be a praise dancer in the church? What are the common areas of training they're going to need?
a basic understanding of movement. Now, you don't need 55 years of ballet training. That's
okay.
Nice. I think once you've been dancing for a while, you should always seek to improve yourself through some type of training. That's good. But really a passion for it, because there are some people who dance beautifully, and without the passion for it, it's still not uplifting anyone. It becomes entertainment, and you're not
right.
engaged in it. So just
okay.
a basic understanding. If you're dancing in the church, you should probably know who you're dancing around. You know, some people think dance is an activity. I don't view it that way because I know how it changes lives. But if you just get a basic understanding, I always tell dancers, they don't know where to start. I tell them, you go to the internet, you know, you can do like a little Bible search engine if you want, and just enter dance and see what it says. Start there. Talk
okay.
with your leadership. See what they want, because sometimes we want to do things that they don't want. Do they even
okay.
accept it? You know,
okay.
so start there and get some good learning, reading materials like Dance Ministry Daily.
Okay. Now, the other thing you just said was when you said study, it occurred to me that if you're going to dance in a church in particular, you certainly need to know the scripture, and you need to be aware of the message that the sermons or whatever you're going to be dancing
yes.
to. You need to study that content and be clear on what it means, because if you
right.
are dancing to a given scripture or a given message, then the gestures and movements you choose need to help facilitate that message. So I would think studying and understanding, doing a Bible study of the scripture with perhaps the pastor or whoever the leaders are, to be sure you're on the same page with
right,
understanding.
Make it make sense.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, like you say, you can certainly move your body to the beat of the music, but this is much bigger than that. So you need to be clear on the message that the scripture or the song is conveying as you prepare to dance for it. Now, are there basic gestures that mean certain things that all dancers would need to know when they enter the training with you, for example?
Well, oftentimes I tell people, you know, don't do what you always see. Sometimes you have to express how you feel about it, because
okay.
this is one of my pet peeves. Dancers, when I say heart, they'll usually do the same movement, and they cross their hands across their chest. And then I ask them, does love make you feel that way? Because love makes me feel free. I don't feel bound, per se.
Okay.
When you say
okay.
words like time, people will tap their wrist.
Okay,
but there's a different way to express that. So there's some little boxes that
mm-hmm.
we've gotten ourselves into. But when you think about love, sometimes love makes you feel weak in the knees. And
mm-hmm.
when you can express it that way. When you think about time, you can think about a circular clock moving around, or you can spin around like winding up. There's different ways to do that. So often I tell them, you know, not only what we can identify with, but go
mm-hmm.
outside of that and go inside of yourself and say, how does this make me feel? Or even ask God, how do you want me to do this? Because we shouldn't all look the same. We're not all made the same.
Mm-hmm. That was the next thing I was going to ask you. When a group is dancing, is it important to you as the choreographer that they learn a certain routine that everybody's doing in unison, or is it more important to you that they are expressing their individual interpretation?
That is an excellent question. We danced at a mall, and one of my friends came to me, my group that I was training, and she said, they look just like you, and I felt bad. Not because of the dance style, but because that meant that they were mimicking me.
Right,
so now
right.
when I train dancers, I tell them, you can do the movement, but I would rather know that I believe you. I would rather believe what you're doing than for you to be perfect on every single move. So now I tell them, take this movement, but you make it your own expression, because if it is done in spirit and if it is done in truth, it has to be true for you. So don't look at me in the way I express it, because that's my face.
Right,
but
right.
He created you in such a way. So even though we're on one accord and doing the movement, make it personal.
Oh, okay, okay. So within the routine that they're learning, each one will be slightly different only because they are expressing it their own way.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
And when people are looking at them, they can identify with them. I always tell them, they'll look at you and they'll see themselves somewhere in you, and they can identify with you when you express it your way.
Okay. Now, how has how has dancing changed your life for the better? I know that it has. So how has it changed your life?
It incorporates all of my passions. I grew up doing stage and theater and public speaking, and I feel like dance is an embodiment of drama, music, and dance, three of my passions. I had no idea when I started this that it was going to take me where it did. I just did it because I loved to do it. And as I got good, as I studied, as I began to do conferences, people began to call on me, and I travel. So dance, I always say, dance is the vehicle, not the destination. So dance as the vehicle has allowed me to see parts of the world that I did not know I was going to see, has changed my life in that way, has opened up doors, like you talked about, to see it culturally, to see it in different nations and expressions, and to be able to embrace that and understand that not everybody has to do it the same way. Whatever your truth is, I can appreciate that because it's truth for you. So dance has changed my life in opening up doors travel-wise and also enriching the lives of others, hearing the encouragement and the testimonies of others who even look at me dance and say, it changed my life. It brings me such fulfillment and joy, and I never thought when I started out that that's what was going to result.
Wow, that's amazing. Before we get any further, I want you to tell my listeners how they can get your book and also how they can reach you if they're interested in learning more about praise dancing for themselves.
Sure. The name of my book is Company Keepers, Dance Ministry Daily, and it's available in two places. You can get it on my website. It's Renaissance. It means the rebirth of the kingdom, the new birth of the kingdom. So that would be www.reiginaissance.com. My book is also available on Amazon.com. My name is Rekesha Pittman, R-E-K-E-S-H-A-P-I-T-T-M-A-N. And if you do a search, you'll be able to find me, find the sites, and definitely on Amazon.com.
Okay, thank you. That's very good. Now, I want to move on and talk about your writing, because you have a degree in writing from my favorite school, USC.
Fight on.
How has writing helped you gain happiness in your life?
It is a way to express sometimes what you can't say verbally. Sometimes what I'm feeling, I'm able to just jot down a few notes when it's not appropriate necessarily to speak. It's a way to remember, because sometimes if we don't record it or write it down, we don't remember those insights and those things that we have learned. Writing helps you to revisit lessons. Do that again. Don't do that again. So writing has really helped me to release, you know, what is on the inside, and, you know, be able to go back and to reflect on it even years later.
Yeah, and it also enables you to share with other people, because many times the things that we have inside of us, when we release them in writing, now a whole world of people we'll never meet sometimes, get to benefit from that writing. So
that's what it's done for me.
Yeah,
and it's funny, you know, people say, go ye into all the world. And I always say, not only is the internet, but writing is a way to go somewhere that you may not be able to travel. I love to travel, but there are only 52 weeks in a year. You know, you can't go everywhere. There's life. So the book or the writing is able to go beyond where I can physically be.
That's right. That's amazing. It looks like we have a caller on the line who has a question. So I'm going to open up the line and see who the caller is. And find out the question. Just a moment. Let's see. Hi there, caller. You're on the air. What's your name and what's your question?
It's Crystal. It's not so much a question, but I wanted to congratulate Rekesha on her book. It has been a long, long, long time coming on this book. but I want to commend her for continuing to let God use her in the way that he chooses to. I get the chance to actually listen in at work, so I'm kind of grateful for that. But she touched on something earlier about choreography and mimicking and people doing what they see other people do. And what I have learned under Rekesha is that it's God-given choreography, and if it doesn't line up with the word, then it's man-given choreography. And there's it's two different things. Some people learn the word by just reading it. Some people learn the word by listening to it through music. And then some get that change out of choreography and out of dance. And that's where people get dance misconstrued as far as the church is concerned. People think it's bad. It's not the right thing to do. But you singing to somebody and me dancing out God's glory and God's greatness, somebody may be touched by that and not touched off of the words. So I commend her for breaking it down and for teaching generations of dancers. And it's not just dancing. It's about breaking down the word, because you can't dance out something you don't know.
So I
commend her. I am grateful that she is being the godly example that God has called her to be. So I can't wait to get my book tonight.
Thank you, Crystal. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. You've touched on something very important that we've been talking about, Rakesha. She touched on the fact that the choreography needs to be God-given. I like that.
Yes.
Because otherwise, that's what's the problem. If you're just mimicking and imitating someone, you are just grabbing some movements that look fun to you. And if you're not doing studying the word behind the dance that you're doing, then it's not God-given, and it's not doing the job that it's intended to do.
Right.
Yeah, I like that. I also like the fact that she pointed out that dance is just one other form of expression. So we have different forms of expression, and some people can get the message just from the word. Some get it from the music, listening to the music.
Right.
And then there are others for whom the dance will be very meaningful. So just having these different forms of expression ensures that we're going to be able to reach a wider number of people, it seems to me. Is that,
and
do you think so?
People, yes, and sometimes people can remember what they see. And because they've seen it, then they'll remember the words to it. And that makes a difference. So it's not a competition for a preacher. It is a supplement, or it is an additional way that the message can be spread and reiterated.
So true. We have another caller on the line who has his or her hand up. So let's see who's on the line. Hi there, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hi, you're on the air. Uh-oh. That caller is going to...
Call back.
That caller got shy. Okay. I'm going to ask you something else about dancing. And that is, it's taken you much further than you expected. You said that. What unique experiences has this avenue of expression provided?
It's so amazing, the testimonies that people will share, you know, the places that we can do this, and that's been very unique. One of the most joyful experiences of dance that we had was I live in Las Vegas, so on the Las Vegas Strip, we went out there to a place called the Hawaiian Marketplace, and we danced, and there were hundreds of people who were there. Amazing. Now, we didn't do any preaching, per se. There was no altar call, but people were coming up, putting down alcohol, saying, pray for me, coming up just in tears, requesting prayers, and we didn't even prompt it. All we did was we got out there as a group of several, it was maybe about 17 groups of people, and we just danced for hours, and we celebrated in Las Vegas, of all places.
All places.
The place they call Sin City. So people felt encouraged. They felt joyful. People who were sorrowful were happy, and they couldn't believe it, right here on the Las Vegas Strip. And that's been one of the most rewarding memories that I've had, and will do again when we dance in a public space like that, and we're not hindered, or we're not limited, and we're not intimidating people either, but we're expressing this message, and it works.
Yeah, that's amazing. And what better place than in what they call Sin City, because you have the people who are drawn there for all different kinds of reasons. And the Las Vegas seems to have become a popular convention center, and yet many people who go there aren't going there to gamble and aren't going there to drink. I know a lot of businessmen and women take their families with them.
Right.
And so to be able to see and do other things can be a wonderful draw to me, because when I go there, I'm the same. I'm not interested in gambling or drinking or staying up all night. And so having something else to do other than just the convention you're attending is a wonderful thing. So I think it's a very appropriate place for you to have praise dancing available. Now, before we run out of time, I want to ask you about upcoming engagements where you'll be speaking.
Yes, I, like I had mentioned, just have been blessed to travel, you know, and teach this thing, and I have a passion for it. I don't think we'll ever stop. So I will be in Los Angeles next month, August 6th through 7th, at a workshop hosted by Inspirational Praise Arts. So please contact me if you want more details on that. I'll be in Merced, California, Northern California, August 12th through the 14th. In September, I will be in St. Louis. For the
That's my hometown.
That's my girl. Lakita Humber has an excellent conference of teaching that she does every year. And, of course, in Las Vegas, I'll be doing book signings. One of them will be this week, actually on Saturday at Diversity Fest. I'll be signing my book. September 4th, I'll be at the Green Valley Library in Henderson signing my book. I'll have them at conferences. And also Rain Dance Company. We have lots of things coming up, but October 23rd is a night in shining armor, so we'll be there. And I can be where you are. Just let me know.
Okay. Now, where would people, what's the best place for people to go to learn about all your engagements? Your website?
Yes,
or,
and that would be Rain, Rain, Rain is actually the website that involves the teaching traveling part. And as Dr. Flora said, that's RainRainRegn.com. All the info's there.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, because a lot of people probably were getting all excited and trying to write all this down. But if they go to your website, they'll be able to see, is there a link that says engagements, or what will they look for once they get to your site?
Click Rakesha Pittman, and then you'll see my itinerary there listed, and I update it frequently, so new things that come up will also be added.
Okay. So we know where to go and obtain the copies of your book, and we know where to go and learn about your engagements. I want to move into talking now about the key to happiness for those who are still looking for their niche in the world. What do you think?
What is it that you're passionate about? Because usually if you do what you're passionate about, you'll be happy doing it. Sometimes we do what we're naturally skillful at, but that doesn't give us happiness. It's that passion. As we've heard even other entrepreneurs that are worldwide and famous, they've said that basically they did their passion and then that brought them the income and that brought them everything that they wanted. So performing arts is my passion. I had no idea that it would provide anything for me. So whatever your passion is, that natural passion that you have, explore that. Hang out with people who do their passion. Who you hang around with and who you talk to makes a big difference in your life.
Yes, it does.
And if you want to be happy, hang out with happy people. Get around people who are joyful, who know where they're going. And sometimes, you know, you'll start in a place and you'll move from one thing to the next, and that is okay as long as you are growing. If you're passionate and you're growing and you're well-advised and you have a good circle of friends, you should be happy.
That's true. I'm laughing because I went to a seminar this week, and the speaker was suggesting the same thing about hanging out with people who are, you know, on the same wavelength you are.
Yes.
And he said one of the ladies in the audience said something about all her, she wanted to be negative, but all her friends, I mean, she wanted to be positive, but all her friends were so negative, and all they did was gossip, and she wasn't enjoying it. He said, well, you're going to have to get some new friends.
That's right.
It seemed pretty obvious to the rest of us, but what he was telling her is what you're saying, that if you want to be successful, you want to be happy, whatever it is you want and whatever your passion is, you need to seek out people who are doing those things, who have those things, who are going the same direction you are. Otherwise, you're really sabotaging yourself.
And they don't necessarily have to do the same thing that you do.
No, not the same thing.
As long as they have a burning desire and a joy.
Yes, and this is one of the things that I think some people have difficulty with, because they think that they are somehow or another kicking their friends to the curb, and they feel some misplaced sense of loyalty to stay with the same friends they've had forever. But I urge people to think about the snake shedding his skin. He moves on. He leaves that skin behind. He moves on to a new skin eventually. We have to move on, and it's not a matter of kicking people to the curb, but it certainly is a matter of how you choose to spend your time, and wherever you spend your time, that's where you're going to grow.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes
so I think
requires movement.
Huh?
I said sometimes growth requires movement, and I laugh as I say that because I think of movement, I automatically think of dance.
Yeah, well, of course. And you're right, it does require movement. And it's not just physical movement, it's also our mental movement. We're moving those thoughts to a higher level, higher vibration. So, and I'm glad you pointed out the difference between passion and skills, because there are many people who are miserable on their jobs, for example, because they have the skill to do the job. They know how to, the task, they know how to complete the tasks, but they don't have the passion for whatever it is they're producing or whatever service they're offering. And without those two things together, then you're certainly diminishing the impact of whatever it is you're doing, and you're certainly not happy about it.
Right.
So it
we
sounds
shouldn't
like
work for a living, but live for the work. You know, it makes it. You know, why should we be stressed out and overwhelmed, and you know, doing things that cause us grief? Is that why we're here? I don't think so.
I don't think so. And I certainly think that your dance is just one of the a wonderful way of giving us another dimension of that happiness. And I know that when you were talking about different forms of expression, I thought about the services I've been in, the church services and speakers that I've heard where they've had a signer to sign for the deaf members of the audience.
Yes.
And even though I'm not in that group, I just enjoy watching them sign.
Yes.
Because some of them are so expressive. And I can remember one event I was attending, they had two signers. And so they'd give, you know, they'd take breaks because one couldn't stand up there forever.
Right.
And there was one of them who I kept wanting her to come back because she was so expressive in her signing that it just gave the message that so much more feeling. And I'm sure that people get that same thing when they see the dance. And with signers, they're just using their hands and arms pretty much, but still the whole body is involved if you're passionate.
Yes.
And that's just a wonderful way of extending whatever the message, whatever the worship is. That's just wonderful. Can you point to anything in your book that you especially enjoyed writing or that you especially want to call our attention to, any passage or something?
Well, it's so funny because the one that everyone seems to land on, no matter who picks up the book, there's one, it's day three.
Okay.
Interesting. It's called Sloppy Agape.
Oh, yes, I've read that.
And basically, you know, it talks about, you know, when you love, bottom line, if you love somebody, you put thought into what you do. You don't just throw anything out there. And so many people, they would not wear what they wear and do what they do in the real world, what we call the real world. But you'll come to church and we'll see everything that should be hidden or that is Victoria's and not ours to know. You know, and people do that. So there is a way. When I love, even with my husband, you know, you dress nice and you smell nice. And so if you really love somebody, you'll put the work into it, you know, to make your presence with them as pleasant as possible.
And that page you were referring to, the way dancers dress for their performances, right? But also got that, you know, it pertains to life. And I think that's the page where you said if you see another bra strap.
Right,
is
any
that
color.
The page?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my God, I feel the same way. When I see bra straps in the grocery store or anywhere, I think, I don't know who thought this was a cute style or trend, but it is just
it's
unbelievable.
Not. It's Sloppy Agape.
It's Sloppy Agape. I love that. Well, we're getting down to the end of today's show. It has been such a pleasure. I want to encourage my listeners to please rush on over to Amazon.com or www.reignaissance, spelled R-E-I-G-N-A-I-S-S-A-N-C-E.com, to get the book so that you too can enjoy what we've just been laughing about. You're going to enjoy it whether you're a dancer or not, or involved with praise dancing or not. You're going to love this book. Thank
it's
you
no
so
holds
much.
Barred.
Huh?
It's no holds barred.
No holds barred. Thank you so much. This has been Rakesha Pittman with us, dancer, author, extraordinaire, teacher, trainer, and as you can see, also very inspirational speaker. Thank you for joining us today, and I'm going to invite all of you to come back next week. We're going to have another exciting show as usual on Monday, July 26th at 11 a.m. Let me remind you that the episodes of the show are available after within an hour after the show ends, and you can go and download it, share it with your friends, listen to it again. But for sure, tell everybody to come and join us every Monday at 11 a.m. Thank you so much. This has been Flora of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. And you know what I'm going to ask you to do this week? You know what it is.